Steven, I'm not here to be your friend.
Look, the second that I figure you out, I'm just going to tell you what you want to hear. You don't want that.
No, I don't want that. I mean, that's no way to run an office, and that's no way to run a podcast. So, yeah, we're not friends, Steven. I'm going to keep you on your toes.
But you're going to pay for me to go to business school at night.
Damn straight I am.
Deal with it, guy.
This is who I am now. Changing. The show's changing, and you won't even see it coming.
Let's go play basketball.
We are deep in D'Angelo country, and we are here talking about the episode The Inner Circle, Season 7, Episode 23, originally airing on May 5th, 2011. I hate this episode.
Wow.
There you have it. And that's it. And I'm done. I'm just going to sign off now. That's it. This episode, more than I think any other in the office, there's so much cringy stuff and there's different things that hit different people's buttons. But this like sexism episode really hits all my buttons and makes my blood boil. And I absolutely hate it.
The universe gets revenge on D'Angelo. So don't worry.
I know that's the only saving grace of this episode is that he is seen taken away. But then at the end, he comes back. Oh, it's all right. We should talk about this episode, which we will, because it's our job and we're going to do it. We have a not so cold open.
Mm-mm.
No, it's more like setting the scene here with D'Angelo and no more Michael. I'm still crying a little bit, actually, behind my eyes.
No more Michael. D'Angelo's holding a meeting.
So, coasting time is officially over. Big changes are coming, and they're coming fast. And if you don't like them, this is called a door. You can walk right through it. All right? I'm not here to be your friend.
And this is where he's playing the whole game of, I don't want these people to figure me out. So he's acting like a jerk, but he's sending Daryl to business school, and Toby's getting a chair, and he's going to have ice cream Thursdays. So that's exciting.
I mean, Toby does deserve a new chair after Holly probably broke his.
Oh, yeah. Maybe that's,
I mean, that's a really long time ago.
A new chair. I hadn't thought about that. I just thought that it was funny that we finally had a manager who was nice to Toby.
We also have a new intro with no clips of Michael anymore. So we have a brand new intro, and it shows D'Angelo adjusting a Native American statue of some sort on his desk instead of a Dundee.
Yeah, this is a one-off opening. It's the only time it's used.
Yeah, so now we have D'Angelo at the reins and we get him completely unfettered, and yeah, I'm not feeling it. I mean, he is being kind of nice to everybody, but as we saw in the cold open, he is providing, you know, new chairs and ice cream Thursdays, you know, all these little nicey-nicies. But there's something suspicious going around in that he has this secret inner circle. Or maybe he doesn't, because you're not supposed to talk about the inner circle. And it is comprised of, who do we have in the inner circle, or the not inner circle?
In the inner circle, we have Jim, Daryl, Gabe, and as it turns out, Kevin. Because in that meeting beforehand, Kevin's like, I don't know what to think. And D'Angelo thinks Kevin has him nailed. So Kevin is Kevin's in the inner circle. He's talking to his mom on camera saying, you know, your boy's in the inner circle. There are a couple people who decidedly are not in the circle. Andy's not in it. He finds it very frustrating. Even more frustrating than being left out of the Finer's Thing Club, I think. This bothers him more.
Oh, there's an inner circle. Oh, yeah.
And yeah, so this is sort of this group that D'Angelo is leaning on, and they have meetings and they suck up to him. Throughout this episode, it's building the case that this dude is sexist. So at the beginning, Daryl and D'Angelo are coming into the office and Pam tries to talk to D'Angelo and he stops her until he's done talking with Daryl in a pretty rude way. And he's trying to hire an assistant, and Pam is involved in that. And he just dismisses her, and Pam feels very uncomfortable around him. And then we see that he just has all these dudes in his office all the time. Definitely not the way to be a good manager, or, you know, a good human being.
Yeah, that's why it just absolutely makes my blood boil, because it's everything that, like, I hate about certain types of people in certain situations. Like, everything that D'Angelo represents, I have experienced in some way or another, and it's absolutely infuriating, especially because as the episode progresses, we see the women in the office who actually start to speak up about this and feel slighted because of the male-dominated inner circle. Just like the way they're all gaslit, you know, basically be like, you know, this isn't real. It's not actually how you feel. I can't stand all that stuff when he calls Kelly hysterical. All of that stuff just makes me freaking insane. Like, I want to punch a wall like Andy. Like, that's how it makes me feel. I get all, like, punchy.
Yeah. Well, the Kelly thing is particularly interesting because that's there's not really, like, a clear B plot in this episode, but I think maybe the closest thing we have is Kelly and Ryan. And so Ryan lets the camera crew know, hey, I've implied that I'm Kelly's supervisor.
So to make things simpler for D'Angelo, I just, without lying, strongly implied that I'm Kelly's supervisor. It's not even that much of a stretch. She pretty much does whatever I say.
Kelly obviously doesn't love this.
What?
I'm sorry.
Why should I pretend that you are my boss?
Because what would you have done in that situation, Kelly? I'll tell you what I would have done for you. I'd lie for you.
Yeah, but you lie all the time. You lie for no reason. Ryan, you just like to lie.
I'd die for you, too.
You really would?
But ends up going along with it. And we see basically every time D'Angelo is back there, and he's back there in the annex a lot, way more than Michael was, I guess because he doesn't hate Toby yet.
Or Gabe.
Yeah, he likes Gabe. I mean, what a weirdo. But Ryan, like, yells at Kelly or, you know, is lecturing her, trying to prove to D'Angelo that he's a tough boss over her. And it's terrible. Ryan is terrible.
And at the end, it turns out that he kind of gets the job that he was pretending to have in the first place, kind of like Pam, but in a really crappy, worse way, because now Kelly, who was deemed hysterical when she was actually speaking her mind about the reality and the truth of the situation, D'Angelo, being the sexist that he is, and even though he says, I'm not a sexist, his actions speak way louder than words. And yeah, Kelly is now demoted.
I just can't do it. D'Angelo, Ryan is not my boss, okay? Frankly, he hasn't had a real job here in years.
Oh, that's hilarious, Kelly.
No, he's just a big fraud, D'Angelo. He's like Rango. He doesn't work here, basically. Just like the way Rango didn't save those animals. It was just a big misunderstanding.
Is this true, Ryan?
I did not see Rango.
Okay, I don't have time for this he said, she said.
He's not saying anything.
It's too murky. I like Ryan. You seem kind of hysterical to me. Ryan's your supervisor. Let's just leave it that way.
But that's not fair. I mean, I've been working here for such a long time.
I'm trying to think in the future episodes, does that actually stick or is it just for this episode?
Yeah, I was thinking about that too. I don't think it sticks. I mean, the way I remember it, I guess we'll see if I'm right, is that as we move forward away from D'Angelo, that this is just something that's not really followed up on.
We also have kind of another weird little B plot. It's still not quite a B plot because it's all happening in the same day here and everyone's together. And I've really noticed that this is much more of an ensemble cast without Michael Scott and without Steve Carell. I felt like before he was kind of the leader. I mean, it was very ensemble before, but now it feels even more so because now everyone in the cast kind of feels like they're on more even footing, and especially with Jim kind of taking a backseat and, as I'm about to discuss, Dwight taking a backseat besides his little, like, defiant attitude towards D'Angelo, you know, everyone's kind of on the same level here.
Yeah, I mean, I think you even see that reflected in the opening credits, that there's a lot more kind of group shots and that sort of thing. And it makes sense, right? Because we don't know D'Angelo yet, and we know the other cast members, and so I think it's the right way that the show went. I think trying to immediately replace Michael with someone else who's going to, like, lead the show would have been really tricky, because if you get that wrong, then the thing doesn't work. And so moving the focus from the one leader, you know, the one sort of, at the beginning at least, the one famous person on the show, to, okay, we've known these people now for 7 seasons. The show can ride on their shoulders. And it totally does. It totally works.
So Dwight has the attitude of D'Angelo that nothing D'Angelo does can win him over. He is just being an absolute wall.
Straight up, why don't you like me?
I'm just not a suck-up like everyone else around here, okay?
I do my job well, so why don't you just leave me alone and let me do it, okay? Oh, no.
What?
Okay. I'm gonna win you over.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No.
Oh, yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes, 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 yes.
He can't be bribed. He can't be enticed to join the inner circle. There is nothing that D'Angelo can do to get through to Dwight, because Dwight has tons of animosity towards D'Angelo. I don't think as a person, but very much as a I should have had your job.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's maybe some leftover anger with Dwight over the whole thing. I think he's not angry with Michael. I think they patched that up before Michael left, as we spoke about last time. But I think Dwight is still upset. And D'Angelo has this terrible line. You know, he's like, I'm going to try to win over Dwight. And D'Angelo compares it to the relationship with his son. But in that case, his son is the one trying to reach out to him, and he doesn't care. You know, it's like, it's terrible. Ugh, D'Angelo. He's the worst.
Something we learn about D'Angelo in his short tenure here during, basically, we have him for this episode as we get, you know, D'Angelo alone, is that we learn that he has a motivational juggling routine. And I feel like this is the best worst part of the episode. This is the only part that, like, I really laugh at and I think is just stupidly ridiculous. And it's a pretty funny bit that they put in here. So D'Angelo is saying that he has motivational juggling skills, or he has a motivational juggling routine.
I'm a big juggler. I actually perform a motivational juggling routine.
Seriously?
Oh, yeah.
And he performs it for everyone in the office, except he does not have his own juggling stuff. And he tries to lend him some, but, you know, you never touch another man's balls. Is that what he said? No, it's not what he said, but it's pretty close.
Got some extra balls. Hey,
woo! Sorry, I never touch another juggler's instruments.
And so D'Angelo proceeds to mime juggling to a very motivational song.
Hey, who doesn't like a little Evanescence, right?
Yeah, I mean, it really does inspire.
I 100% watched the music video for that song while preparing for this episode.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah. And it is a music video.
Speaking of videos about preparing for this episode, there was a Reddit user who decided to Photoshop or edit in juggling balls into D'Angelo's routine, and he has the video. It's very good. I suggest checking that out. Did you see that? Have you seen it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. They also did Pam's when Pam is mocking him later. It's really good.
Oh, I love when Pam mocks him. Her mock juggling routine is quite good.
Look, I'm juggling eggs and bowling balls. I'm juggling with one hand. No hands.
What could he possibly stand to gain from a fake juggling routine?
What could he possibly stand to gain from a real juggling routine?
The thing that I love, like the little shot I love the most, is when he tells Kevin to, hey, throw a fifth ball in. And then, like, Creed covers his mouth in astonishment. Creed's in the background at reception. I don't know what Creed is doing behind Aaron's desk, but he's snooping around, I guess.
Getting things out of the trash.
He's like, oh, like, look what he's doing. It's a great little moment.
I caught that, too. I also love that Creed is incredibly delighted by the juggling routine, as well as Aaron. Aaron is also delighted. And Kevin. I feel like Kevin, Aaron, and Creed back there near reception, they're the only ones super into it. Everyone else in the office is a little astounded. Doesn't quite know what to say.
D'Angelo. At about this point, they're having a conversation in the break room, a bunch of the employees, and talking about sexism from D'Angelo. Angela points it out. Andy is dismayed that he didn't catch it himself, because he prides himself on catching these sorts of things, but he didn't. And Pam wants Jim to talk about it. He's like, hey, you're in the inner circle. There's not an inner circle. And you need, you know, you should talk to him about this. And so Jim brings it to D'Angelo, and the rest of the inner circle comes in, and D'Angelo, like, thanks Jim for bringing it to his attention, like, for a minute, it looks like he's going to, like, actually handle this pretty well. Like, okay, you're right. You know, yes, he had made a mistake, but he saw it. He's going to work to correct it. D'Angelo has a solution for this. He is hired an assistant. He did not hire Pam's friend, or I guess anyone else Pam had put on the list. He sends Aaron down to the lobby to go get this new assistant, and D'Angelo takes the time to address the sexism concerns. And it's a really weird moment on the show.
Because apparently there's a rumor running around here that I'm a sexist. I can't work here effectively if you guys think I'm something that I'm not. I'm not a sexist. Raise your hand if you have a vagina.
Everything, okay, like I said in the beginning, everything about this, just, I'm very angry at Jim for not being more assertive in that meeting when it comes to pointing out, you know, the faults and the problems there. He's really holding back. I can't stand everyone's little comments that come up that just reasserts the sexism that's going on in the office. And I know that that's why it was written this way. I know it's a show. I understand, like, that this is all meant to provoke in this way and bring to light a lot of these issues. But it still just makes me so angry. And so D'Angelo brings up this very pretty young girl with no experience. I'm going to call her a young girl because she's very young. And she worked in anthropology, which Kelly is very jealous of.
So, Jordan, where did you work before? A law office?
No, anthropology. We don't have this in that size. Pretty lame. Hmm.
Lame? You worked in anthropology?
Yeah.
That's like my dream job. How did you even get that job?
Well,
you chose this job over that job?
Okay, back to work, Kelly. We have a lot to get done today.
And I gotta say, anthropology is a pretty cool job. I love that store. Also, I totally agree with Kelly. They do not just hire anybody. She shouldn't have given up that job for this job, for sure. So she comes in completely unqualified, and D'Angelo is using this hire to prove that he is not sexist. But when it comes to meeting for the inner circle again, which, you know, there is no inner circle, Jim is left out because now he was the one that, you know, kind of called out D'Angelo on some of his crap here. And he is not texted for the meeting. And instead, Andy is invited in.
He didn't text me. Yes! I'm in.
Andy, what are you doing?
I'm going into the belly of the beast. I'm going to infiltrate and change from within. What's up, man cave?
He enters this room with the enthusiasm of someone picked last for, like, a softball game.
That's exactly what's happened. He's just excited to be invited at all, you know? We see in this meeting that they're talking about sales stuff, and then we see Andy leading a sales meeting of Phyllis, Dwight, and Jim, which is I think it gives us a look at, like, how the inner circle works. Like, you're given tasks to go do things with other staff members, but the fact that Andy's leading a sales meeting must really kill the three of these people because he's the worst salesperson. We also finally get Kelly snapping about Ryan not being her boss, like we talked about earlier.
Kelly, that's the last time I'm going to talk to you about your paycheck, okay? We pay you a fair salary here, and if you're only here for the money, maybe you shouldn't be here at all.
No one likes a money grubber.
I'm sorry, Mr. Howard. I apologize for grubbing for money. I can't do this. I'm sorry. I just can't do it. D'Angelo, Ryan is not my boss.
No one likes a money grubber. Oh my God, that makes me so mad. Ah, everyone gets a job for the money. That's the whole point of a job. Okay, so anyway. Hello. Hi, I'm back. Had a fugue state there for a second. I was hysterical.
Yeah, well, we can just get a white dude to come in and run things. D'Angelo would be fine with it.
Oh, hey, how you doing? How you doing, Stephen? No, I'm kidding. Oh no, I am the problem. It's coming from inside the house.
You're gonna go to Thailand with some friends from high school or a high school.
No. Oh, no.
And then we see the inner circle being pretty rowdy in D'Angelo's office. They're playing that Nerf basketball, making a bunch of noise. And Pam's like, hey, you know, we're trying to get some work done. Do you guys mind quieting it down? And they're like, yeah, we can't quiet it down. D'Angelo's a god at basketball. And we get Jim, I think because he's been out of the inner circle now, he sees an opportunity. Maybe he's just trying to prank, or maybe he's just trying to like put D'Angelo in his place.
You know what? Instead of a game, why don't we do an exhibition? Love to see that dunk of yours. Yeah, we'll set that up one day. Today, now, maybe. Because we have a hoop downstairs and a real ball, so you don't have to mime it.
Kind of like, I guess, when Charles Minor told Jim they were going to go play soccer.
Oh, yeah. Totally calling him out.
This ends even worse than Meredith getting kicked in the face with a soccer ball. So they're all going to go downstairs, and Dwight's not having it. And D'Angelo just loses it at Dwight.
Damn it, Dwight, enough! Get your ass downstairs or find a new place to sell paper!
That gets Dwight's attention.
Okay, a little about me. I respond to strong leadership.
And now we have this basketball scene, which I just... When I remember when I saw this episode for the first time, I think I screamed.
Did you really?
I was like, oh! Like, I mean, just like, you don't expect it. So he's going to do this dunk. He has put basketball shorts on, but he's still wearing like a suit or like a shirt and a vest. It's a good look. It's not a good look. He wants Jordan to stand under the goal, and he'll jump over her. But her hands are full holding all of his jewelry.
Under the goal, Steven?
Yeah, under the goal.
Isn't it called a basket?
A goal or a basket or a
sports?
field goal. He wants to jump over her to get the eight ball in. And
uh-huh.
You call it a goal? That's totally valid. Come on.
Is it?
Yes.
Hoop? Basket.
Yeah. Stand under the basket.
I'm going to shoot for the goal? No, you shoot for the goal post in football.
Anyways, Kevin volunteers because Kevin is just all in D'Angelo world, right? Like Kevin, for the first time, is a cool guy with the boss. So he's like, yeah, I'll do it. He gets down on the ground. And D'Angelo goes up to shoot, and it looks like he was going to jump off of Kevin, but the editing actually jumps out at me here. Like, it looks super fake when he goes up and grabs goes up and grabs the basket, the hoop.
Goal. The goal.
When he goes up to grab the ring, it looks a little funny.
Okay, Sonic.
But then it falls over on him, and he falls backwards, and the whole basket, backboard, all of it falls onto him, and people are just like in shock.
Okay, Jimmy, this is for you to show you that anything is possible.
Fantastic.
Right?
Yep.
This is also for the troops. Doctor is in!
And then there's an ambulance, and they shut the door, and they're like, now what? Now what do we do? Because he's had a terrible accident.
Yeah, this type of like portable basketball goal hoop is not meant Mm-mm. for hanging off of and dunking. It's not meant for that at all.
We had one of these growing up, and like every time it was windy, it would fall over.
Yeah, D'Angelo is showing his immaturity.
Wow. Who doesn't know words now, Tiff?
I'm taking over. Michael's not here. Someone needs to pick up these reins.
That's true. We were left at the end of the episode assuming the worst. And we'll get to what the internet says happened to him. But we have a tag at the very end where they're in the office and they're working, and D'Angelo comes stumbling in. He has like an IV line dragging on the ground behind him. He's in a hospital gown. He is trying to tell a joke, but it's mostly gibberish.
Something, pounds, and lout. Pounds says to bartender, how can I tap? Bartender says, 4 times pound.
I hate this scene. It feels like one of those really cheesy comedy moments that are just completely unnecessary. It feels like it came out of like a bad SNL sketch. Like it's not, it feels so out of place for The Office. It's way too cheesy. I don't like it. It's not realistic. He wouldn't have been allowed to leave the hospital like that. And where did he come from? He didn't drive. He doesn't have a car there. Like,
I don't think they know he left the hospital.
Like, he walked? Did he walk? Oh, how far is, I don't know. I don't like all of these things. I don't like this tag. I don't find it funny. I don't feel like we needed that closure. I mean, we could have even seen him in the hospital for 2 seconds. That would have been fine. Or just end with him kind of being taken away. That would have also been fine. Yeah, this close is way too much of the, I don't know, it's kind of like the Will Ferrell comedy that I don't get and I don't care for. So I think maybe someone who is a fan of that type of comedy and like that's what, you know, tickles your funny bone, that you would totally get this. It for me, it falls. It falls flat. Yeah,
just like the basketball hoop did.
On to D'Angelo. So what does the internet say they think that happened?
That he's at best, when he goes back to the hospital, is like brain dead, but worse, actually dead. So I don't know. I think there's a deleted scene a little bit later on where Joe Bennett makes a comment that it seems like he's actually dead, but he's not good. He's not coming back. D'Angelo is done.
Thank goodness. Thank goodness. We can have our conference room back now.
That's good. We can get rid of all the Southwestern motif in Michael's old office. There's a new motif coming next week, though, because next week episode is, while this is one of my least favorite episodes, next week is, for me at least, a real gem.
I really like the way The Office decided to transition away from Michael here. We've talked about it before, but now that we see the departure of D'Angelo, or at least the taking away of D'Angelo in an ambulance, now that we've seen that happen, and we can guess from the title of the next episode, which is Dwight K. Schrute, acting manager, I like how they've done this transition because they gave us somebody to replace Michael who was not a great fit. They showed his flaws where he kind of like lost it over eating, that he kind of lost it over the inner circle sexism stuff. Like they set him up to not be the one that's going to stick around. And in that transition, they've created a bunch of opportunities for a lot of episodes of like, who are we going to find to take over the branch? Like, how is this going to go? And if you look even further ahead and you see the episode title Search Committee, you know, we can see that there's going to be a lot of transition. And I think that transition and the uncertainty of who's going to be manager and possibly like the changing up of like a whole bunch of different managers makes it a lot more palatable to lose someone like Steve Carell and Michael Scott, who was such like a big, huge part of The Office. I mean, right now, if you look at the billings, Rainn Wilson is top of the billing now that Steve Carell is gone. And like we lost this leader. And I think if they did it any other way where they tried like for a direct replacement, it would have felt a lot more jarring. Whereas now we have more of a searching and a taking like an agency. The cast and the office crew have more of an agency in like choosing and figuring out who is going to be the new managerial replacement here. And I think that they played that really well. It could have gone so horribly wrong by just trying to force feed us one person.
Yeah. I think that's spot on. You know, I think in a real life situation, it could have gone either way. It could have been just somebody like D'Angelo just comes in, or it could have been this slow, steady like search and everything that happens. But because it's a TV show, doing it the latter, you know, going that way is what the audience, I think, wants to see. Like, we want to see what life would be like if this person or that person were in charge. And so I'm all for it. And I do think that, I mean, they use the rest of the season to work this out. I mean, we're pretty close to the end of season 7, but it's not fully worked out anytime super soon. I think that's good. And it keeps people kind of on the hook, you know?
Speaking of keeping people on the hook, we have a Dundee to give out this episode.
Yes. So over in the multipurpose room, which will be, I guess we can rename it the conference room now that once this episode is out.
We sure can. I'm doing it right now.
That is our members only Slack room over on The Incomparable, where we talk about The Office and hang out and share links. It's a lot of fun. Matthew J, we debated how to pronounce your last name. I don't think we nailed it. I'm sorry. Matthew J. Matthew J sounds like a cool nickname too, so I'm going with it. Matthew went through and watched the version of Goodbye Michael that was on Peacock, and it's a little bit different. It is a two-parter on Peacock, and it's a little bit longer. And Matthew went through and made this amazing, like, color-coded spreadsheet showing the differences between what aired and what's now streaming. And honestly, I think the streaming version may make a little bit more sense in places. It's pretty cool. So we are awarding Matthew J. the Rundown Dundee. Come on down. Run on down and collect your award.
Congratulations, woo! Matthew, on your Dundee. I think everyone else in the conference room was also saying, like, wow, you totally deserve a Dundee for this. It is quite the feat, because we were originally having a little debate over, you know, what could possibly be different. And there's like 22 minutes versus like 43 minutes. Like, that's a lot of extra time. And as we've discussed before, you know, we really don't go into the deleted scenes because we realize that they're deleted for a reason. So thank you so much to Matthew for actually, you know, plotting that out for us. And hopefully we can put a link to that and you guys can also see Matthew's amazing spreadsheet. So thanks. Enjoy your Dundee. We have another award to give out because it is now October. And we previously were participating in the Childhood Cancer Awareness Month, where we collected donations for St. Jude on behalf of Relay. And we have a little prize to give out, because we said that, you know, if you donated and you let us know, that we would love to give you a little treat from Somehow I Manage. So I put some names into a hat. I squished them all around. Squished, I guess.
Wait, an actual hat?
I found a hat and I wrote the names. I know, right? It's actually Marco's computer hat. It just says computers on it. And I moved them all around and I picked out a name, and that name was Elizabeth W. So Elizabeth W., congratulations for your win, and thank you so much for donating to St. Jude. Stephen, how much did you guys end up with?
$701,000. Isn't that amazing?
I think that's so great for the people of St. Jude, who provide the amazing service to all those families and to all those kids.
Remember, nothing's impossible.
Elizabeth W., send me a message again and let me know your address, and I will send you your prize.
I think that does it, Tiff. I think we're done with D'Angelo.
We gave out all of our awards here, and we will be back next week to talk about the episode Dwight K. Schrute, acting in parentheses manager. And you can go and find us over at tall_beats on Twitter. You can find us individually at ISMH and at Tiff Arment, also on Twitter. And you can join us in our members only Slack, the now renamed conference room, back from the multipurpose. Yep, it's over. It's back. It's back. And we'll talk to you next week. Try not to dunk any baskets into the goals, Stephen. I don't want you to get hurt.
I will stay away from them.
Ho! I'm D'Angelo Vickers. Thank you so much. Hope you learned something.
Woo! It didn't drop a single ball.